You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
Church, where would we be without the love of Jesus in our life? I was chatting with a friend of mine this week, and he was wrestling through just some things in his life, some things of his past, and looking at what God has done, and thinking about wanting to overcome some things in his life. And it really struck me in my conversation with him that we would be nowhere without the love of God. The love of Jesus is the power to transform a life, and a life cannot be transformed outside of the love of Christ. Where would we be without the love of Jesus? But church, that is what we have. The love of God took on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, and he showed us what love is. And through the cross has reconciled us to God the Father. And now we can be filled with his Holy Spirit, forgiven and freed to be the person he's made us to be. That's where we are. With the love of God. Thank you, worship team, for reminding us and singing it over us this morning. My wife, Gina, she has Italian heritage, which I know many of you know, and that is an amazing thing for my taste buds. She loves to cook good food. Now, it's not an amazing thing for my waistline, but that's a whole other story altogether. But one of the delicacies of Italian cooking is the truffle. It's the hard-to-find cousin of the mushroom that mostly grows in the wild of France and Italy. It's called the Mozart of mushrooms. It's the black diamond of the kitchen. And despite many efforts, truffles, they are not easily farmed. Rather, they are most often foraged. They need to be found. And it's their rarity that makes them so highly sought after as a food. And it's the reason why they are one of the most expensive foods in all of the world. In 2007, someone purchased a 3.3-pound truffle for $330,000. And well, it didn't take long for the entrepreneurs of the world to realize that people are willing to pay big bucks for anything with truffles in it. One of the most popular products today is the truffle oil. A bottle of truffle oil will sell for 25 times the price of regular olive oil. So you can purchase an $8 bottle of olive oil or truffle oil for $200. But here's the problem. That $200 bottle of truffle oil doesn't have any detectable levels of truffle in it. Most truffle oil being sold today is simply a mix of olive oil and a compound called 2,4-dithiapentane, a chemical compound that's made in a lab that smells like truffles. Some things are easy to hide in food and in faith. Eugene Peterson, he writes this about being a pastor in the church. He says, "I don't know of any other profession in which it is quite as easy to fake it as in ours." By adopting a reverential demeanor, cultivating a stained glass voice, slipping occasional words like eschatology into conversation, we are trusted, without any questions asked, as stewards of the mysteries. We can crib our sermons from the masters, learn to lead a liturgy by rote, write the appropriate scriptures for home and hospital visitation in the cuffs of our unobtrusive reference. We can memorize half a dozen prayers to suit the occasion. And he goes on. The image aspects of being a pastor, the parts that have to do with meeting people's expectations, can be faked easily. The problem, though, is that while we can get by with it in our communities, often with applause, we can't get by with it within ourselves. Some things are easy to hide, in food and in faith. But it's not simply pastors who can fake it till you make it. Isn't this something that every person who is of faith is capable of? An incongruence between what's inside and out? There's the person we want people to see and the person that's actually there. There's the holiness that we project and the sin we keep hidden. There's the ever-present faith we display, and then there's the never-attended-to doubt that we conceal. We can easily put on what's expected when it is expected. We can act innocent in our speech while pursuing dishonest gain. We act like we have someone else's interests at heart, but really we're serving our own agenda. Some things are easy to hide in food and in faith. And this morning, Jesus wants to bring to light what is easily hidden. And he wants to draw our attention to what can never be concealed. Will you turn with me once again to the Sermon on the Mount and tune your ear to the voice of the preacher himself, Jesus, as we read from Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 23. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Jesus, this morning, from the outset, I want to say I will not fake it until I make it. And I pray that prayer on behalf of your church. Give us eyes to see this morning what is not easily seen. And Holy Spirit, lead us into the things that cannot be hidden as we follow you into your kingdom. So, Jesus, make us the church in every sense of the word this morning as we turn our hearts toward you and give you free rein to rule, to lead, to guide, to heal, to shepherd. And we pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Jesus, in the text, he is telling us to pay attention to two things. First, to what's easily hidden. And second, to what we cannot hide. In your journey along the narrow path that Pastor Chris called us to last week, we need to pay attention to these two things. First, there is what's easily hidden. Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." Watch out for false prophets. A false prophet is anyone who claims to be speaking for God but isn't. Jesus is saying, beware of those who claim to be speaking for God but are not. Have you ever encountered a person like that in your life? Someone who, by all accounts, appears to be speaking God's word, speaking for God, but you've got this feeling that something just isn't right. Like the words are being twisted somehow. Like the motivations behind those words are less than innocent. Have you ever experienced something like that? Watch out for the false prophets, Jesus says, because they're destructive on the path of faith. They claim to speak for God, but really they speak for themselves. They speak their own ideas about God and their own ideas about His way. They speak their own priorities. They speak for their own gain. And Jesus wants us to be on our guard because people who speak falsely on behalf of God, they can cause a great deal of harm in your individual life and among the community of faith. Jesus uses the term wolves. It's the picture, wolves. Wolves divide, distract. They deceive and devour. Wolves sow seeds of discord and malice. They lead their prey astray into dens of gossip, arrogance, unforgiveness, and into all manner of the unholy. Wolves carry the pack off the narrow path and on to the broad road. Many people have started down the road of Christian faith, but they've been taken off the path by a wolf, never to return again. Jesus says, as you walk the narrow path, look out for the wolves. But here's why wolf watching is so difficult. Wolves look just like sheep. They sound and they act like sheep. First, wolves sound like sheep. They can quote scripture verse for verse. They can pray the power of heaven down to the earth. They can articulate the deep mysteries of God. Wolves sound like sheep. But second, they also act like sheep. They lift their hearts to the Lord in worship, and they offer their hands to the needy in service. Wolves act like sheep. Isn't that what Jesus is saying in verses 22 and 23? Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?" Then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Wolves act just like sheep. They know all the right moves, even the most impressive, even the most spiritual, prophesying in Jesus' name, and casting out evil in Jesus' name. and performing miracles in Jesus' name. It's why wolves are hard to spot. They get results. And sometimes the results are impressive. Which gets me thinking, church. We're often quick to throw our support behind apparent Christian figures who get the results, aren't we? Whether it's a preacher or a politician. We quickly champion politicians simply because they support the Christian causes that are closest to our own hearts. And we begin to champion those individuals as advocates for God's kingdom come upon the earth. But there's a warning for us in Jesus' words in this passage of Scripture. In God's kingdom, the end does not justify the means of getting there. Getting results, even if those results are in sync with God's heart and His kingdom, it is not God's measure of success in His kingdom. And the same is true among the communities of faith. Many abuses have happened in the church under the guise of kingdom success. The pews are filling up. The gospel is being preached. People are finding Christ. But all the while, the preacher is known to have fits of anger without repentance. And slowly but surely, the people that he works with, the people around him, they carry the scars of his unsanctified anger. But it all gets swept under the rug. Why? It's all discarded as insignificant in comparison to the work that God is doing through the man. I mean, if someone blows the whistle, then it will be God's kingdom that loses out, won't it? Or so some might say. In God's kingdom, the end does not justify the means of getting there. That is the way of the wolves. Now, I've done a great deal of thinking this week, praying, reflecting on who, Jesus, are the most dangerous wolves among the church today. It seems like an appropriate question to ask, given the text that he's given to us. Who are the wolves? And we have this human impulse to want to quickly put up the wanted poster on the doors of the church, right? The big wanted sign. This is wanted for hunting sheep in God's church, and then have a big old picture of the person's face front and center so we know who to watch out for. We want to know who the wolves are. Well, I don't have any wanted signs for you this morning, church, but I do have a number of thoughts about the wolves we face. Three thoughts, to be exact. First, every sheep has the capacity to be a wolf. Sometimes we think the wolves are these people out there, but every sheep has the capacity to be a wolf. We tend to think we're either one or the other, wolf or sheep. And Jesus does seem to suggest that that is what he was dealing with in his day and age. Intentionally divisive people who are masquerading as the church in order to intentionally destroy God's people. It seems like Jesus faced that in his ministry. And he speaks about bad trees that can only produce bad fruit. But I think that most of the time, the kind of wolves that we face in our context, in our day and age, they don't even know they're wolves, or they're not willing to face it. They are new creation sheep who have let the old creation wolf out of the cage, unchecked. And the point is, Every one of us has the capacity to be at times a faithful sheep and at other times a destructive wolf. Every day, we have the capacity to build up or to destroy. In our families, in our marriages, in our small groups, in our fellowship with one another, in our workplaces. Every day we have the capacity to build up or tear down, to bless or to destroy, to speak for God or to speak for ourselves. And perhaps Jesus' warning to watch out for the false prophets is in part a warning to search our own hearts and our own motives to see how we're participating in the destruction of God's people. Every sheep has the capacity to be a wolf. Second, sometimes a wolf is revealed when they speak God's word, but they don't speak it in keeping with his character. Sometimes they're revealed by speaking God's word, but they don't speak it in his name. What I mean by this is that Christians, they sometimes try to speak faithfully about God's word, but the way in which they do it is all wrong, and it causes great harm. In those moments, I want to suggest to you that the sheep are acting as wolves. Let me explain. What does it mean to speak something in the name of God or in the name of Jesus? God's name, all throughout the Bible, it is a representation of who he is. God's name is God's character. And so to speak in God's name is to speak in keeping with his character. And there are many times when the sheep turn into wolves by speaking the truth of God's word in a way that is not in keeping with his character. I've seen myself do that in my own anger in my home. What might that look like in your life? And in the church? You might recall just over a year ago, a well-known pastor in California, he was recorded making unkind and very derogatory remarks about a particular female preacher in reference to a certain passage of Scripture where he was trying to make his point from God's word. And he claimed to be speaking from God's word at that moment. But make no mistake about it, he was not speaking in Jesus' name, because the character of Christ was missing. You see, we become wolves when we speak God's word in anger or out of our sin or brokenness or for our own misguided reasons. Sometimes a wolf is revealed when we speak God's word, but we don't speak it in keeping with his character. Third, wolves, they use God to push their self-serving priorities. This is the quintessential characteristic of the wolf in sheep's clothing. They're people who use God, his authority, his word for their own benefit and agenda. And we do that sometimes, and it's destructive. Sometimes it's a slight twisting of God's word in order to squeeze out a personal blessing. God has promised to bless you. Pray faithfully, and then the financial blessing will follow. It's the sound of a wolf. A twist of the truth that keeps us missing the point of the gospel. But wolves, they come in other shapes and sizes too. Wolves are masters of spiritual manipulation, masters of getting their own way and controlling other people's behavior under the guise of genuine spirituality. Some of you grew up with parents like that. In a spiritually controlling environment. And you know what? It's really hurt you. It's really hurt your view of God. Or maybe you grew up in a church like that, or had a pastor like that. Or maybe even right now you're in a marriage like that, where God's word is being used to control and manipulate and be used in abusive ways. The wolf comes out when we try and use God for our own gain. And let me just take a moment to speak to those of you who wounds are being revealed, that you have grown up in a spiritually manipulative environment. And you have experienced abuses of all kinds from the church. I want you to know today that Jesus calls it out. He's calling it out in his text. And he's saying, that's not of me. And as your own wounds are maybe even bleeding in this moment, Jesus says, I have come to heal and to restore. And perhaps the first step on that journey is hearing an admission that there were people in the church who have wronged you. There were sheep who were wolves in your life. And Jesus says, I'll make it right. Jesus says, I've made it right through the cross. And the weight of your wounds he bore on the cross. And it's by his wounds that you are healed. Jesus, I pray even in this moment that you would do what no human preacher could ever do in the lives of people who have been hurt by a wolf. Tend to the wounds. Heal them in Jesus' name. And so Jesus warns us. Watch out for the wolves. They are destructive, and they're easily hidden. But Jesus in the text doesn't simply leave us with a warning, does he? He gives us a solution. While wolves are easily hidden, there is one thing that simply cannot be hidden. It cannot be concealed. One thing that cannot be hidden, which reveals the true sheep from the wolves. And Jesus instructs us in the text to look for this one thing. This one thing will help us discern who we should listen to in our life and who we should follow after, who we should trust for counsel and direction, who we should allow to influence our life and our choices. Jesus tells us to look for this one thing. Popularity. Jesus says, you will recognize them by the number of followers they have on Instagram. And you will recognize them by the size of their congregation and how quickly it has grown. You will recognize them by how many Christian people retweet their posts. You will recognize the faithful sheep among the wolves by their popularity. No, that's not it. Success. Jesus says, you will recognize them by their success. You will recognize the faithful sheep from the wolves by how many books they have published. You'll recognize them by their prosperity, their wealth. You will recognize them by God's blessing in their life. Jesus says, you will recognize them by their success. No, that's not it either. Doctrine. Jesus says, you will recognize them by their doctrine. You will recognize the faithful sheep from the wolves by the accuracy of their beliefs. You will recognize them by their stated position on the important theological questions of our time, on gender, on sexuality, on politics, on the authority of Scripture. Jesus says, you will recognize them by their doctrine. No, that's not it either. Sound doctrine is important, to be sure. But not even that is the one thing that Jesus points us toward in discerning the sheep from the wolves. Fruit. Jesus says, you will recognize them by their fruit. Verses 18 to 20. Every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. The one thing that reveals the faithful sheep from among the wolves is the fruit of a life that follows Jesus. That kind of thing simply cannot be hidden. What is the fruit of a life that follows Jesus? It's things like repentance and humility. It's forgiving those who have wronged you. It's blessing those who curse you. It's setting things right when you've made a mistake or sinned against God or another person. It's acts of compassion and justice. Those we can do in Jesus' name. It's things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruit. Church, the one thing that cannot be hidden, the one thing that reveals the faithful sheep among the wolves, is the fruit of a life that follows Jesus. Hear me, church. Look for that fruit when you choose who you are going to listen to. Look for that fruit when you choose who you will follow after in this life. Look for that fruit in those you trust for your counsel and your direction. Look for that fruit in those you choose to influence your thinking. Look for that fruit in those you let influence your choices. By their fruit, Jesus says, you will recognize them. Here's the trend. Here's the trend that I've observed in the church. And I'm not specifically speaking about this church. I'm thinking church universal here. Here's the trend I've observed over the past number of years in the church, and especially over these last 11 months. Social media and the internet, they have become one of the leading influences on the lives of Christian people. In the years past, in the years gone by, the leading influencers in the life of the Christian was the small group or the camp leader. It was the local pastor. It was the Life on Life fellowship group of friends who are journeying in Christ together. In the past, they have been the most predominant, the most influential source of guidance in a person's life. But now, the greatest influence in many Christians' lives are celebrity preachers on Facebook, or the influencers on Instagram, or the bloggers on Twitter. And we can tune into preachers across the globe, and we pick and choose the ones that we like the most, the ones we want to listen to. And you know what? There's something amazing about that. And then there are other Christian voices that we can tune into from around the world that are giving their own commentary on the state of affairs in our world and in the church, and they're telling us how we should respond. And there is some good in that. But here is the problem that I see with it all. The predominant voices that are beginning to shape our lives of faithful devotion to Christ are those voices that we can never get near enough to observe the kind of fruit that they are bearing in their life. We can't be close enough to see it. Yet those are the voices that we follow most firmly and with conviction. Now, I am not suggesting that these figures are all wolves. I'm not at all. Please hear me, though some might be. But I am saying that when we apply Jesus' wisdom here, it means that we would be better served to follow those people that we can get close enough to see the kind of fruit that they're bearing in their life, the kind of fruit that they produce. We would do well to trust the greatest aspects of our discipleship journey to the fruit-producing Christians that are closest to us. And I don't just mean the preacher. To look to the fruit-producing Christians among us, the ones whom we have access to their lives and they have access to ours, and allow those people to shape and lead and mentor and direct and disciple us. The small group leaders, the peers that we share our faith with, the local pastors that we know. You know what? They may not be the most popular. Your youth leader or that person in your small group, they might not be the most entertaining or interesting or exciting, but at least you can see the fruit that cannot be hidden. You can see the stamp of God upon their life. And so let me simply ask, who are you letting lead and influence you these days? And who should you be letting lead and influence you these days? Some things are easy to hide. In food and in faith. But the one thing that cannot be hidden is the fruit of a life that follows Jesus. To that end we move. Or said better, to that end, Jesus moves us. Church, together, let us commit ourselves to opening our hearts once again to Jesus Christ, to turn and return to Him so that we might be the church in every sense of the word. Jesus, search our hearts afresh today. See if there is any wicked way among us. Expose our sin, our mistakes, our brokenness, our apathy, and bring it all into your light. Where we have been wolves in sheep's clothing, forgive us, restore us, lead us in making things right with you and with those we've sinned against. And Lord, where there are wolves that we cannot see, protect us. Protect the vulnerable, the weak, the weary, the unsure, the uncertain, those who do not have the strength of faith. Protect your sheep. And give us eyes to see what cannot be hidden. The fruit of a life that follows you. Make these sheep become leaders among us, influencers among us, preachers and pastors and apostles and shepherds and evangelists among us. Help us to see the fruit of a life that is worth following and give them the reins of leadership among us. And fill us afresh with your empowering spirit. Like water in the roots of the tree of our life, nourish us with your very breath and grow the fruit of your gospel in us once again. Amen.